Good afternoon. From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. The Juneau School District's Board of Education agreed to approve up to $180,000 in funding to help pay for a new playground at the Zontakahini campus in Lemon Creek. This afternoon, during a special meeting online, board members agreed to pull the money from its after-school child care fund to serve as a match for a foundation's grant toward the project. The after-school child care fund has previously been used for the district's former Rally program. Michelle Nakamura is a parent of two children at Montessori Borealis. During public testimony, she said having a playground is crucial for children's learning and advocated for the board's approval of the funding.
Recesses where kids get their wiggles out and then come back to the classroom ready to focus. Right now, our kids don't have that. They get a muddy field full of dog feces, and they've been making do for the last two school years.
The Zontakahini campus houses students from Yukuske Dakahiti High School, Montessori Borealis, and Juneau Community Charter School. It used to be a middle school until the school district consolidated Juneau's middle and high schools to address budget shortfalls. Since the consolidation, parents of students at the campus have been advocating for a playground to be built there, but settling on who and how to pay for it has become a thorny issue. The playground's price tag is about $1.3 million, including design, materials, and construction, according to the district. In September, the Juneau Assembly approved $735,000 in funding for site preparation. This fall, the school district also launched a Buy a Brick campaign to raise funding for the project. As of Thursday, the district raised about $71,000. A local foundation agreed to match up to $250,000 to help pay for the project. Altogether, that gives the district just under $500,000 for play structure equipment. Board President Ebbett Sidden made the motion to approve up to $180,000 in additional funding. The money set aside so far can pay for everything in the playground design except for a spinner. The board also agreed to seek approval from the city to free up additional funding for the project. The city plans to begin work on the playground this summer. Southeast Alaska's largest tribe has earned nearly $40 million from U.S. Navy contracts in Guantanamo Bay. Money some tribal members are concerned comes from supporting immigrant detention. While tribal corporation leadership says their operations are separate from the detention center on the base, what's happening on the ground might tell a different story. Guantanamo Bay is the site of an active U.S. Navy base with about 6,000 military personnel. It also houses a detention facility. The Trump administration has been using the facility to detain migrants as part of its aggressive deportation policies. And Guantanamo Bay is where the Tlingit Haida Tribal Business Corporation, the tribe's business arm, currently has a contract. In 2018, the corporation announced the contract with the U.S. Navy. The corporation is now in the middle of a second contract, which is set to end in 2028. The value of both contracts have reached about $40 million. Tlingit Haida said the corporation's contract provides services to the Navy base. It does not support detention operations at the base. But some tribal members have doubts about that, like Clarice Johnson. She says she's been concerned about the contract since it began 7 years ago. But when the Trump administration vowed to hold thousands of immigrants there, it brought new urgency to her concerns.
It makes me ill to think of Tlingit Haida making money off the abuse of other people, especially those who are just looking for a better life.
Guantanamo Bay's detention center has been controversial, known for human rights violations for decades. Around the state, Alaska Native tribal members are protesting their corporation's investment in immigration detention centers. NANA Regional Corporation has been directly investing in ICE detention operations, including in Guantanamo Bay. When stories about inhumane conditions at those detention centers surfaced this fall, Johnson says she started posting in a Facebook group to make sure tribal members knew Tlingit and Haida also had connections to Guantanamo Bay.
I didn't want people to forget whenever they're criticizing other corporations for doing this that our own tribe was also participating.
Her posts garnered discussion with other tribal members who also posted concerns. In response to public criticism, Tlingit and Haida issued a statement in December saying the contract is, quote, strictly limited, unquote, to operating and maintaining boats and ports, and that the corporation is obligated to continue the work until the contract ends. But Johnson is worried that some of those boats transport migrants to the detention center in Guantanamo Bay. Richard Reinhardt is the CEO of Tlingit Haida Tribal Business Corporation. He says it's against taking on contracts that assist in immigration detention.
We don't have anything to do with that.
Instead, he reiterated that the contract is related to vessel operation and maintenance, including a ferry to and from the airport. However, Reinhardt says he's heard that the ferry the corporation operates may be used to transport detainees, including migrants. But he says Tlingit Haida tribal business staff aren't involved with that process.
There are times I hear, I've not seen this, but my manager there tells me that they do come across and they'll put somebody on the ferry. It's usually late at night and it's all just there. It's all their vehicles, all their staff. they move across and they go to the airport. But we have the only ferry going from the airport to the windward side where everything is.
At least 700 migrants have been detained at Guantanamo Bay this past year and were initially flown there, according to previous reporting by NPR and the New York Times. In an email to KTOO in response to follow-up questions, Reinhart says he could not speak to how many migrants have been transported via the corporation's ferry. KTOO could not confirm whether or not there's another way migrant detainees are transported from the airport to the facilities they're held in. Reinhart says involvement in migrant transport is, quote, outside our visibility and control and is not tracked, directed, or managed by Tlingit Haida Tribal Business Corporation as part of our contractual duties, unquote. Though Guantanamo Bay is often linked with the detention facility, Reinhart says he doesn't think a lot of people realize that it's primarily a naval base. Clarice Johnson says even incidental involvement in migrant detention is still too close for comfort.
No, I understand why they want to claim 6 degrees of separation from ICE, but I think that their actions at Guantanamo Bay place them in much closer proximity than many tribal citizens realize.
And she wants to know if the tribal corporation will take a stance on migrant detention as more opportunities to profit from it arise.
Will Tlingit and Haida jump on the money train, or will they actually have guidelines on which contracts they will bid on?
Reinhart says that most Tlingit Haida tribal business contracts are with the U.S. military. And those contracts, he says, support the corporation's mission, create more funding for the tribe. And with the second regular session of the 34th Alaska Legislature beginning on Tuesday, KTOO is checking in with members of Juneau's delegation to talk priorities, predictions, and plans for the session. Senator Jesse Keel spoke with KTOO's Mike Lane earlier this week.
We're in the studio with Senator Jesse Keel. Welcome, Senator.
Well, thank you.
How do you feel about going into the second regular session?
Well, I'm excited to have everybody come back to the capital city. It's always good to have colleagues from around the state gather at the Capitol and get to work, and also, you know, catch up a little bit. Some of these folks are even friends.
Is there anything that you're looking forward to or not looking forward to in this particular session?
Well, I think the biggest question is going to be what issues catch fire and get the most traction. Crucially, the thing you always have to do has got to be a budget, right? The Constitution limits us to 1 year at a time. Gives us some duties, public safety, public health, managing our resources, education, a couple other things. And so we have to pass and fund a budget. And one thing I'm not looking forward to is making that balance. That's going to be, without a doubt, one of the biggest and most difficult issues in front of the legislature this year. That's not new. The governor, who has for all of his term stood squarely in the way of any kind of fiscal plan with a reasonable possibility of happening, has said that this year he's proposing one. If the governor proposes something that is serious, if the governor proposes something that has a kerosene snowball's chance in Hades of passing, then that will be, I think, the primary issue of the session. If it's something that can't get the votes, won't get the votes, Alaskans aren't going to support, then we won't probably spend huge amounts of time and effort on that. I'm a fiscal plan guy. We need to stabilize the state's resources, stabilize the state's ability to do the basic things we all need a government to do, infrastructure, safety, education, right, et cetera. Can't do them on your own. And so we have a structural deficit. And with the price of oil down and looking to maybe go down further, balancing the books is going to be really brutal this year without some revenue.
With that said, are there any other pressing or urgent issues that you believe are being overlooked at this time?
Well, I don't know about overlooked, right? The other thing that has the potential to take a huge amount of time is this this 50-year dream of a gas line. And if that project gets cash or customers, if it's got customers with a balance sheet who will sign on the line, yes, I'm in to buy gas that comes through this pipeline. Well, then we have some very serious and major issues as a legislature that we're going to have to work on to make sure that gas line can happen.
All right, fair enough. And we touched very briefly on the budget. Where do you believe cuts are necessary?
We have done a lot of cutting already. And so we are always looking at the most efficient way to deliver government services. But Alaskans, by and large, want the services the state provides. It just comes down to that. So we're going to dig in. We're going to get down to the nitty-gritty and talk to everybody and figure out what is the more effective, efficient way to deliver that necessary government service. We're talking about saving tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars a year max. And that counts. We're going to work on it. But it's not hundreds of millions of dollars. It's not a budget deficit. And so we will always do those things because we always need to do the best we can for Alaskans. But that's not going to solve our budget issue.
My last question, how can Alaska secure the PFD for the next 5 to 10 years?
Fundamentally, the most important thing we're going to need is some additional revenue. With a moderate new revenue stream, or probably it's a couple of little streams, right, that come together to a moderate amount, we can stabilize. We can provide public safety, good education, infrastructure. We can run roads and ferries and airports. Do the things that the Constitution requires us to do, that Alaskans need us to do, and still have a PFD going forward.
And Senator, is there anything I didn't ask you that you'd like to touch on?
I'll just say, it is such a privilege to represent the capital city. This town welcomes legislators, welcomes staff from all over the state. Agree with them, disagree with them. They're here serving the public. They're serving their constituents. They're here to do a job for all of Alaska. And I'm always proud of the capital city welcoming my colleagues from around the state. I'm looking forward to that happening again this year. It's going to be a hard session. I hope it's a productive one.
It is the second regular session of the 34th Alaska Legislature. It begins Tuesday, the 20th of January. Senator, thanks for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me.
That was KTO's Mike Lane talking to Juneau Senator Jesse Keel ahead of the regular legislative session, which begins on Tuesday. This is KTOO. Thank you for listening.